Everybody has a story here. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a story. And I believe in 2019, we are going to get really good at sharing our story. See, the church for so long has been horrible at sharing our story. We've been horrible at sharing the story. Let me give you an example. Say that Claude and Elaine were going to buy a new car. And I'm a car salesman, and so they come up, and all I do the whole time, what kind of car do you want to buy, Claude? Buick. He's at a Buick dealership, and he's there. And the whole time, I'm there telling about, you cannot buy a Nissan. If you buy a Nissan, it's going to kill you. It's like, you're going to feel so uncomfortable if you drive a Nissan. It's going to kill you. The safety ratings are terrible. And he goes on and on and on. Me, as the salesman, I go on and on and on about how horrible Nissan is, never once mentioning about the Buick. Does that make any sense? No, but see, if I love Buicks and I'm a car salesman and I actually want to really sell, because I not just sell it because I have to, but I love it, what am I going to do? I'm going to talk about the Buick. I'm going to talk about why this car is something that you need. And so what we've been doing even all day is we've been talking about the story of Jesus. And I think for far too long, we've come at it as, you know, the fire and brimstone, you know, turn or burn, right? And then you know, how many got saved several times through heaven's gates and hell's flames? Anybody else in here? I have two hands. Anybody else? I see those hands. I got another hand there. See, heaven's gates and hell's flames scare the living daylights out of me. There was another movie way back. I remember it was the End Times movie. And Left Behind. It was a newer one than that. Maybe it was called Left Behind. All I know is it traumatized me. Because if I didn't get saved, you know, like, seriously, there was like the guillotine in this movie and people's heads got chopped off. So fear for a season brought me to church, but it didn't last. But how many know when you meet the God of love, it lasts? See, when you listen to Mike, you know, fear could have got him in church maybe for a while, but somehow on that CD, he met the God of love, and the God of love changed his life, not fear. The God of love. Now, we're supposed to have a righteous fear, but it's love that leads us into the kingdom. For God so loved the world, not those that were saved. God so loved the world when we were a mess, and he's been running after us ever since. And I believe in 2019, we're going to get really good at telling the story of love. Your personal story of love. 2019 is the year to begin to celebrate. Not that we haven't, but I feel like God wants us to celebrate what is happening in the midst of us and to learn to tell our story well. Because people don't want to hear all about what they shouldn't be doing, but I'll tell you, when they hear about what they could be doing, right, what they could be driving, it does. It changes everything. Your story is the key to somebody else's victory. If you're a miserable Christian, you need to be set free. Because that's not a story that's going to lead people into victory. Let me back that up. We all have things going on. We have bad days. I had a bad day yesterday. Anybody else have a bad day yesterday? I was the only one. Thanks. You all gave it to me. Yesterday was just not a good day for me. We all have those days. So, you know, did I wake up with the skipping, you know, jumping out of bed and praising the Lord? No, I had a fight through the day. I finally got through at about 5 o'clock. I felt it begin to lift. There are those days, right? That's why sometimes I texted my wife. I said, Krista, please just pray for me. I'm going through a rough time. So she began to pray. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking if you're perpetually depressed, you need healing, because in the kingdom of God is joy. And that should be a part of our story. Because Mike's story is he was on a collision course with suicide, death, alcoholism. That was his life. And so we step back and we go, like, you don't even know Mike that way. Sometimes he tells me stories. I'm like, Mike, I don't even know that guy. Like, you know when God says your old man's dead? Mike's old man's dead. So when he tells me that, it doesn't even compute. And he'll be like, you got to understand what I used to be like. I'm like, I don't really want to understand because I see you now. And he's full of joy. And that's his story. And you could tell your story to anyone without condemning, going, oh my gosh, I used to be like that too. But can I tell you what? Like, this incredible thing happened in my life. And people are like, oh yeah. Like, listen, when you get a free Buick that changes your life, people are like, I'd like to listen to that. Let me give you some scriptures. Everybody turn quickly to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read it twice, and I want to read it out of two different translations. While you're turning that, I did a series a while back, and so much I want to say. You know, I had 10 minutes ago, I started my 10 minutes just now. When, you know, we talked last week about arriving on time, so funny, okay? So we're talking about how awkward it is for new people to arrive and nobody is here. So I'm walking after the service to go back out there, and there's the new people there, one of the couples that were new, and I say hello to them, and I shake their hand. They're like, can we tell you a funny story? I'm like, sure. They said, we got here, and we went to your head usher. I think his name's Murray. And they said, where is everyone? That's awkward. Where your head usher is going to, one of your ushers. And well, people come late to our church. What do you say? See, if you go to church, it really doesn't matter. If you're just going to church, who cares what time you come at? But if you're part of a bigger story, it matters what time you arrive. Amen. See, did you get that, right? So your story and what you are doing changed their lives. Your story began to change Max's life, and Max's story changed their life. When you're in Sunday school and you're serving you're not doing a job, you are serving the kingdom, which changed their kids' lives. Right? Like my title I said last week, it wasn't a title, it just came out of me. We need to begin to rethink how we think. That you're not just doing something and that's what you're supposed to do. No, you are part of a story, part of a movement of God. And that movement and that story is changing people's lives. So when you come and you think, it really doesn't matter what time I show up. Well, you could think that way because you're just going to church. Or you can think, it matters what time I show up because if new people come in, I want to be there to greet them. Because maybe my greeting and my story will change their life. Save their life. Change their life. Make their life completely different. We're not doing church. Let me read this. When Jesus came to, this is not the scripture. This is Matthew 16, 13 and 19. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. When Jesus came to Philippi, he asked his disciples this question. What are people saying about me? The Son of Man, Who do they believe I am? They answered, some are convinced you are John the Baptizer. Others say you are Elijah reincarnated or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But you, who do you say that I am? And Jesus asked Simon Peter, and he spoke up and said, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are favored and privileged, Simon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven was supernaturally revealed it to you. I give you the name Peter, a stone. And I love this translation. And this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I build my church. My legislative assembly and the power of death will not be able to override it or overpower it. I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. I'm saying all that. The revelation of who Jesus Christ is the foundation. But what I love is that is the first time in the Bible the word church or ecclesia is used. We've talked about this before. But I love the Passion Translation because it says, excuse me. It says, I give you the name Peter, my church, which is my legislative assembly. Okay, because a church was never meant to be a building. We've talked about all this. But when you begin to realize, and 2 Corinthians is going to talk about it, we're going to share, and then I'm going to close, that you are ambassadors of Christ. Tell your neighbor you're not a churchgoer. You're not a churchgoer. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ everywhere you go. Okay, let me give you quick history. When Jesus, we went there last week in Genesis 1, when he created a man, he said, I have made man in my image. That word image means a representative. Do you understand? He made us in his image, therefore we have his blueprint, we have his DNA, we can call ourselves children of God. Obviously, the fall changed that. We have to accept Jesus, what he's done on the cross. We need to accept him as Lord and Savior. We receive that back. And when you receive that back, you are now created once again in the image. You are now a representative of the kingdom. So when you come, you don't go to church, you come to be trained as an ambassador. I'm getting yeses and amen from up here, over here. You don't come to church to do your spiritual duty. You come to church to be trained as an ambassador. But let's take that a step further. If we realize that we are part of a movement that God began when he said that, literally to Peter, the church will never be destroyed, or the legislative assembly will never be destroyed, you are now part of a movement. And what you do in this movement, in your story and in his story, will make or break some people's lives. And so we have to start getting it that, you know what, I'm not going to arrive early because Jay says to arrive early. No, I come and I'm part of the legislative representative assembly. I'm an ambassador. And when I get here, I get to be trained, but I'm also on duty. You know, we ask you to walk across the aisle because your story could change their life. Because you just heard it today. Your story is changing their life. Somebody in children's ministry so every week, but that first time, so touched their kids that they could walk in and he could go, hey, look what I did at my new church. Did you hear that? They wake up on a Tuesday wondering if it's church. Isn't that a prayer for all of us? Right? I wake up every day going, oh, I wish my teenagers, Dad, is it church today? Didn't you say that the other day, Caleb? My kids, that's the one not so good benefit of being a pastor's kid. You get to be the, you get picked on as the stories. But no teenagers do that, but I hope we do. That's why I was erupting for you today. We raise a hallelujah. When you can step back and see the big picture of what God's doing, how can we not raise a hallelujah? We may have little moments, and we all do. We may have even bigger moments. We all do. Like, you know, I'm thinking of you guys. Big week coming up. It's not been the easiest season for you. But we still raise a hallelujah for Dan and Melissa to see Aiden come into victory. Like even when I think of what's happened over the last few months with those kids and how you've loved them and you're changing them, we can raise a hallelujah for just that. But then we could raise a hallelujah for Dana and Jason, what God's doing in their life. And we thank Max for what he did to them. You know, all these little pieces that are beginning to play out because stories are being told. Let me end with this. We're back to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to close with this. I am going to read it out of the Passion Translation just for the sake of time. I actually love it out of the New King James. There's just a few words that I love that he uses. He says this in 2 Corinthians 5:13-21. He says, if we are out of our minds in a blissful divine ecstasy, it is for God. But if we are in our right minds, it's for your benefit. You can just stop and think of that, right? Somebody walks in here and we're shouting hallelujah. Well, we're just doing this for God. We'll talk about you later. That's what it is to me. You know, if you wonder why I dance around my guitar and I just can't contain myself, and if you wonder why, because I am I am having a blissful divine ecstasy with God. Because honestly, when I'm worshiping, I'm looking at faces, and you know, here I'm talking about Pascal, and she walks into the room, and then I look at Roger, you know, I just see what's going on, different things, and I just can't help but thank the Lord. And then I can think back to 2 years ago, and I was going through one of the most difficult times of my life. So to be able to just dance and shout is, you know, oh, what's keeping us from doing it? You have to fight to do it. You need to start going, I will praise my King. If you're waiting for it to happen, you're going to be waiting a long time. You just got to go for it. That's not, I got to read. Okay, I got to close. We're doing it again. For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us. Did you get that? For it is the fear that he's going to destroy us that fuels our passion and motivates us. No. It is Christ's love that fuels and passions and motivates us because we are absolutely convinced that he has given his life for all of us. This means all died with him so that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for him. The one who died for us and now lives again. So then, from now on, we have a perspective that refuses to evaluate people merely by their outward appearances. For that's how we once viewed the Anointed One, but no longer do we see him with limited human insight. Now, if anyone is enfolded in Christ, into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. Michael Sharon, great example. All that is related to the older order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and anew, and God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciling others to God. In other words, it was through the Anointed One that God was shepherding the world, not keeping records of the transgressions, and he has entrusted us to the ministry of carrying the message of Christ to the world. Oh, I skipped, sorry. Entrusted us to the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. Here we go. We are ambassadors of the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world. And it goes on. I could keep reading it. The famous line at the very end, for God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us so that who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. Why am I saying all that? Because you're an ambassador. It didn't say those select few. It didn't say the fivefold ministry. It says we are now ambassadors. Part of an assembly, a legislative assembly, which by the way has authority. When we dumb down what we do, we miss the whole point. But when we begin to realize this is what we get to do, not only do we get to do it, we are actually appointed to do it, to share your story of what God's done in your life. Come on, who has a miraculous story? For some of you, your story may be, I grew up and never got into all that garbage because the grace of God. That's a story. Sometimes people are like, well, I don't have a story, man. I wasn't on drugs and all. That is a story. You made it. That's a story. We don't have to have Dorman's story. Dorman doesn't want you to have his story. No, seriously. Because do you know how many Dormans didn't make it? Like down at the Lazarus, they see it all the time. There, for every one, there might be 10 that don't make it. You don't want that story. You want the story of kids and youth that are making it through because they've experienced the ecstasy, using his terms, the blissfulness of God. That's why on March, I think it's the 1st, we're trying to figure out the day to do the next House of Hope. We're actually going to merge an encounter night with the youth with a House of Hope. We want to fill this place with worship that night because we're just 2 weeks away from a youth conference. See, when kids come in March, we really begin to gear up for this. We want them to encounter the love of Jesus. And they're going to hear a bunch of stories that will change their life. So I encourage you. We need to rethink what we do. Rethink your hug. right? Like, seriously, it's just a hug. You don't realize that that hug might be the very thing because they're so broken. When somebody walks through the door and they look unlovable and based on what our morals should be, you know, we want to get them out of that stuff. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we dumb down sin. But we're a people that we're learning to go, I'm not looking at that right now. I'm gonna see them for what Christ sees them as and who they will become. Because inside of them is that DNA and they will become that person. And I'm going to love them. And you, Lazarus, you guys rock it. I can't even, like, my goodness, you guys do it on the most extreme level. But when we can just hug somebody, I've heard stories that your hug has changed somebody's life in here. We got to rethink what we're doing. Your handshake of encouragement of going, hey, I just saw you the other day. And Steve, I just want to thank you for doing an amazing, like you just bless people. And when you encourage someone, that may be the one thing that he needed to hear to get him into his next. We need to rethink what we're saying because you are an ambassador. So every Sunday when you come, if you think you're coming to church at 10 o'clock, you've missed it. Church starts at 10 to 10. Because at 10 o'clock when you get here and you start having conversations, your story is going to change somebody's life. When they walk into a room that's alive and buzzing, they're going to wonder what is going on here? What kind of church is this? And when they experience the presence of the Lord in worship or a prophetic word from someone that changes their life, we get to be a part of that. Are you getting it? Like, we need to stop thinking we just go to church. And this doesn't have to just happen in here. It happens everywhere you go. I'm going to stop. Please stand. I guess, forgive me if you're like, oh my gosh, why is he so passionate? Because yeah, 8:25 if you want to grab a coffee next week for your class. We start at 8:30. We want to close the door at 8:30. You know, we used to have Bible studies in our house growing up. Man, if you would have told me I would have been a pastor, I would have laughed at you. I was the cookie stealer. Connie's like, yes, you were. See, I knew when they put the goodies out. I also knew when they were praying, and I could sneak down and grab cookies. Dharma was telling us his story the other day, which is way worse than mine. But people kept loving us. My mom and dad kept loving us. And the story is even greater today than we had before. You know, we were in the midst of a lot of religion, in the midst of good things. But somebody kept loving me to the point where I get to do what I do today. Don't stop loving. Don't stop thinking. Start thinking. Don't stop thinking you're just going to church and start thinking you're part of something bigger and a story that God has written that you can be a part of. So Lord, I pray you'd help us. But I start by thanking you that we get to be a part of the greatest story on earth. And we can't hold it back in 2019 and beyond because your story has changed our lives. Your cross, the price that you paid, has changed our life. And Lord, I thank you that we're going to get opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to share our story of how amazing you are. And Lord, I pray that in 2019, we would rethink how we think and begin to realize that we're part of something bigger. We are part of something greater. And what you're doing is not a small thing. This is revival. What we heard today is revival. People's lives are being changed. People are being healed. People are being set free. And it's going to continue and it's going to grow. And we thank you for it. We prepare ourselves for what you are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen.